Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports. Now, here's your host, Matt Kolsky.
Come on!
Good morning, and a happy pre-dawn to you. I guess we can use pre-dawn. We didn't use pre-dawn in the past.
We have used it once. One time we did.
One time.
We've talked about it. I love the pre-dawn saying. I think it's a great saying.
Is there anything else do you think we can use for this morning, though? Like, it's... I mean, 5 a.m. is a ungodly hour.
To ridiculously
be
early.
To be awake. Let's face it. We are doing radio. We're happy to be here. But 5 a.m. is a... Let's just say it's not normal to be awake at 5 in the morning in general. Obviously, if you have work, that's, you know, and you got obligations, that's, of course, you got to do it. But 5 in the morning, it's odd. It's I mean, pre-dawn.
To be driving, not even just waking up.
Yeah.
To be already, for us, actually already in work. You and I both commute in, and I get up at around 2:30 in the morning when I do this shift. So
right. You never.
It's a whole different.
You don't know what to call it because you're never awake at this time. So Kolsky and I decided pre-dawn was probably the best option.
Vampire hours, potentially?
Vampire hours, great.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right. Stephen Langford, Anna Kagaraki's in for you here on the pregame show. We have a lot to get to today. We have NBA All-Star Weekend coming up. The Warriors finished off the season on a relatively, what would you say? It's not a weak note, more of a controversial note, maybe?
Yeah, dramatic.
It was dramatic.
Incredibly dramatic.
Yeah, and their loss against the...
Blazers,
thank you.
No problem.
But we will get from the 408 on the Chilton Autobody text line. It's hella ungodly. It's ridiculous.
Hella is great.
And from the 209 on the Chilton Autobody text line, it is normal. Early bird gets the worm.
There you go.
Yeah, it just feels more than, it feels earlier than early. It feels late that when we're waking up, you know?
I swear anytime I read a story about some famous entrepreneur or some mogul, somebody huge in whatever industry, they always say that they wake up at a ridiculous hour like this, that they wake up at 3-4 in the morning to get their day started because, you know, the whole idea of the early bird gets the worm. So maybe we're on the right foot. Maybe we're kind of heading on the right path towards success, we'll say.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's what this means.
Successful. Yeah. Sure.
So one thing that I wanted to get to, now there's been a solid 57 games so far in the NBA season, so it's more or less way over the halfway point. So, I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts, Anna. Pre-All-Star break with the Warriors, what was kind of the, I don't know if I want to say moment, but what has defined this Warriors pre-All-Star break season for you so far?
You know, it's funny. It's a roller coaster for me. For me, this season has been a complete roller coaster. I remember early on the season when they went on their 10-1 run, I had done an interview with Rick Welts, just kind of talking early in the season. And the one thing we remember talking about was how great of a start the season is. It feels like something special is going on this season. And it was just so optimistic. And then after that, you have the Curry injury. You had the Draymond versus KD debacle. And it just seemed to go up and down. It went on a weird spiral, downward spiral. But then this team kind of figured it out. And then bringing in Boogie, it was kind of a big... This season has been surprising because you didn't know what you had when you had before Boogie got on the court. It was the anticipation of bringing him as a new Warrior, having this new all-star, all-five lineup coming out and waiting to see what they have. And obviously, they've done a good job together. They've worked together. And now that they've kind of figured out some of the tensions, this team is flowing. I know they had kind of a rough ending right before against the Blazers, but overall, this team has actually fared really well, even though this is actually one of the worst records that they've had in the All-Star break in this dynasty.
Right. And so you're kind of saying, it's more overcoming adversity,
yeah,
you'd say.
But historic as well, because you have so many games, like you have Curry and Clay, you know, going off on these historic tangents when they're, you know, you had Curry, you know, hitting 51 through three quarters against Washington. You had Clay Thompson with his 43 points on four dribbles. Ridiculous feats that they have still made, no matter what, against all adversity.
Yeah, for me, I'm glad you brought up Clay, because his season so far, it's been just you already talked about the Warriors season being a roller coaster. You want to talk about Klay Thompson's season. Mm-hmm. He started out we weren't even trying to use the term slump at first,
yeah,
because we were watching something from Klay that we hadn't really seen. He's shooting, you know, jacking up three, shooting only like 30% from the field. And you're thinking to yourself, wait, this isn't real, Clay. He's going to bounce back.
What's wrong?
And you know, month later goes by and he's still not up to playing up to Clay's standards. And it just didn't feel like he was going to return to form. And then he comes back and he has the 14 threes in a game. And then he breaks a record. And then he has the 10 threes in a row. What those shooting games are meaning to me is that every other team has tried to follow this Warriors rubric from the past 4 or 5 years, which is, hey, shoot the three. You're getting way more value in this shot from behind 24 feet rather than if you're just taking a mid-range, hopefully getting a two. And for the Warriors, it's kind of become, Tom Haberstroh wrote an article about it, for Steph Curry earlier. He said Steph Curry's three-point shot is basically a layup or a dunk.
Yeah.
And so with Clay, you're seeing these 14 threes a game. You're seeing 10 threes in a row. And it shows you just how different this Warriors team is in terms of efficiency.
Yeah.
When it comes to this, because historically, they've been number, for the past 5 years, they've been number one in 3 points attempted, 3 points made, all of that. But right now, they're on a pace. When I last looked, they were like 10th in the NBA or something like that in terms of volume of threes.
But the volume's the issue. That's the thing. It's not about the volume. It's about the efficiency. You said the right word. This team is so much more efficient when it comes to shooting the three, and they figured it out early. They're the ones who figured it out first, and they're the ones who perfected. Now everybody's been trying to catch up, and they are catching up, but still the thing is that this team is still taking it to a different level.
And they're just still showing that they are the big brother in the league,
yeah,
while all the other teams are little brothers who are still trying to catch up. So for me, it's just Clay with those types of games with 10 threes in a row and the 14 threes in one game. They just define the Warriors season for me, and they prove why they're still the number one team to beat, and they're proving why everyone's chasing them.
Yeah, completely. And the other storyline you're getting, obviously, too, is free agency. What's the future going to be like? Because everybody wants to tear apart this team because it is such a good team. It is an amazing squad put together. No matter what, the addition of Durant has been phenomenal for this team, but everybody still forgets that Steph, Clay, Draymond, they were drafted here first. So they were drafted here, but they still think that this team is ruining the NBA because of the accumulation of all-stars. And so now when it comes to free agency, the storyline that we've been hitting is obviously what's going to be the future of this team. Instead of living in the present, we're worrying about the future, worrying where KD's going to go next year. Is he going to go to the Knicks? Is he going to go to the Clippers? Is he going to stay a Warrior? What's Klay Thompson going to do? Even though, you know, it looks like he's said numerous times that he wants to finish his career as a Warrior. So that's the other storyline, that as much as we have so many great moments, it's been a roller coaster, you're still worrying about what's the future hold for this team.
Did any of the... was there any point in the season where you weren't just looking ahead to the return of DeMarcus Cousins? Because it feels like when we first started going into this season, it was just, hey, the real season doesn't start till DeMarcus Cousins is on the floor. Was there any point where this first half or pre-All-Star break, we could say, where you're just thinking to yourself, you know, like, I'm not even worried about DeMarcus coming back right now. This team has other issues that they need to solve.
No, you're right. This whole first half of the season before DeMarcus came back, you're waiting there wondering what you have because you didn't know. What was DeMarcus Cousins going to be? Is he going to be the same boogie that that was with the Pelicans last year? Was he still going to bring up his best game? Was he going to cause issues? Is there going to be a chemistry issue? Is he going to want the ball the entire time? That was the question nobody knew the answer to. And nobody kind of figured out that, yeah, he's going to work with this team. And he is working with this team.
What were your expectations for him going into it? What did you, beforehand, you're thinking, all right, he's going to help us in the paint. He's going to help us in the key. He's going to establish a presence in there. And he is probably going to get us a few rebounds here and there. But has he exceeded your expectations? What did you expect beforehand, and what have you seen from him now?
Actually, yeah, I think he has exceeded expectations because of the magnitude of his injury. Having an Achilles injury, it's difficult to come back from, and the fact that he has been such a big presence for this team, and, you know, he may not be shooting, you know, he may not be putting up as many points on the scoreboard, and he may not be, his box score may not be as impressive as it used to be, but it's still pretty impressive for what he's done.
And I think the one thing that it's still a shock to me every time I watch him on the floor, but it's just a simple, you have, you know, the other team scores, and then DeMarcus, he's the one that takes it out, and then he gives it to Steph. Steph's running up the court, and DeMarcus is kind of following him, just jogging along. And then just DeMarcus pulls up to the three-point line. Steph just gives him the ball, and the center's not going to – he's not going to go outside of the key. He's not going to leave the rim. So DeMarcus is just wide open. He's just going to take the shot, and he's going to drill it. I think that's – I'm still going to be shocked by that. I knew he could shoot the three going into it, but I think that's still going to catch me by surprise every time, and I don't think I'm ever going to get used to it.
I'm still waiting for Splash Cousins, basically. You got the Splash Brothers, now you got Splash Cousins out there. So I'm waiting for that moment where we get those threes from him, because he is a great shooter. He is such a great all-around player.
Do you think there are some people – you can hit the Chilton Auto by a text line 95795, in the words of Lorenzo Neal, but – there are people who were talking about how he's had a lack of effort defensively, or not so much on the offensive end, but defensively, they feel like he's not getting back on defense as quickly as he should, because the Warriors are such a fast paced team that they go from one end of the floor to the other just like that, and they feel like DeMarcus isn't catching up. Have you seen a lack of effort from DeMarcus?
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you want him to go 100% at this point of the season? That's, do you want to see him putting all his effort out there and potentially hurting himself before the All-Star break? Or do you want him to kind of get himself slowly back into the mix and really work his way up? Because that's what you need right now, especially this early.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got the rest of the season, and then you got the playoffs. It is a long game. It is a long season for this team.
From the 707 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, it freaks me out when he brings the ball down the court. Looks so funny, but he's good at it.
Right.
Love it. Yeah, it's terrifying when he goes up and he drives to the rack, puts a shot up, and then you see a because they're playing him hard.
Yeah.
They're not letting him get any easy buckets. And you see him fall, and, you know, your heart drops a little bit. There are a couple of heart-stopping moments this season so far where you're like, I mean, it was one of his first games back. I can't remember which game it was, but he went down and it looked like there was a force on his knee, and I was terrified, and my heart sank, and then he ended up coming back in the game. So I think, you know what, now as we're talking about it, that's one of the things that shocked me so much is his toughness.
Yeah.
People there, he hasn't he's been going up. He's getting the offensive rebounds and getting second chance points, but they haven't been easy. So I think that's probably the most surprising thing, is just how tough he is for a big man. And plus, as Warrior, you know, fans and viewers, we're not used to watching a big man like this.
No,
we're just not. If you say, I mean, try to think of one in the past. I can't. I mean, Anderson Varejao, maybe Mos Bates. I don't know.
Bogut had a little bit of toughness.
Bogut.
He did have some toughness to him. I loved Bogut. I don't know how to explain Bogut, but he was somebody that was. But DeMarcus is a force.
Right.
He's a force to be reckoned with. He's somebody that he has so many skills associated with him that makes him so different from any other big man that we've had.
Right. Offensively, in terms of like scoring and going up for shots, I don't think Bogut was doing that.
No.
Because Bogut was an elite passer for a big man. So that's kind of what he was relied on. DeMarcus feels like he's kind of taken on the role of having to score as that big man. So that's like the main difference I see between the two. And that's kind of why I'm not used to just seeing a big man go up for the layup and then get knocked over and then gets back up like it's nothing.
Yeah.
So I think that's the most shocking thing. From the 707, hey man, give Bogut some respect. Also from the 707 on the Chill and Audible text line, different person though. O'Neal. Jermaine O'Neal. Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were talking about Lorenz O'Neal.
Oh, they might have been.
Since we talked about 957-95.
All right. So this next segment, Anna, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
And feel free to hit up the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795 or 888-957-9570. Doesn't matter which one. Feel free to hit up either. But I know this sounds odd. I'm not trying to list off the Warriors starting five. I'm not trying to list off like from the best to the worst. But I'm saying if you're given this starting five in a draft, right? They haven't played yet, but they're going to have the careers that they've had already. So you got Steph, who started out relatively slow, he wasn't scoring an average of 20 points per game until like his fourth season going into it. Then in 2014, that's kind of when he became elite.
Right.
And so you got, from the 5-1 on the show, you forgot Andres Biedrins. Yeah, all right.
Well, yeah.
Andres Biedrins. Okay. But if you were going to draft this starting five, you had DeMarcus, who instantly made an impact when he was drafted. KD, who came in and became one of the better scorers in the league, but he couldn't get it done with OKC, with Russ and James Harden and Serge Ibaka. And then you got Klay, who, unlike these guys, he hasn't really had any injury problems at all in this season, in his career, I mean. And you also have Draymond, who turned out to be one of the more vocal players in the NBA who everyone has their eye on. So I'm curious I'm just curious who you would draft in terms of what order from this starting five, given they had the careers that they're having now. So we'll get into that next. You can hit up the Chill Now Body text line at 957-95, 888-957-9570. Stephen Langford and Anna Kakarakis in for Matt Kolsky here on the pregame show.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Stephen Langford and Anna Kakarakis in here with you. Anna, we all have a hunger.
We have a hunger.
We all have a hunger.
Oh,
look at that. Anna coming with the backup vocals. You like that, Cody? I can't hear you.
I'm Noel O'Neal, though.
You good?
Oh, come on.
I'm glad to know there's another Florence fan on this program.
Yeah. Florence and the Machine.
Steven and Anna and the Machine here on 95.7 The Game. The pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with our product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information. Before we get to our draft here, I wanted to welcome to the show, by the way, in case you're just waking up and getting in your car. Anna, we just realized something.
Okay.
We talked about how 5 a.m. is super early around here. And it's not technically what you'd call morning drive, afternoon drive.
Correct.
Whatever. But that's only on the West Coast.
Yep.
Now that we think about it, We, in the East Coast, we are technically morning drive right now. Do you realize that?
No, that is actually a very good point. So we're pretty much a big deal on
the East Coast. Yeah, no, we are prime time on the East Coast right now, while in England, mm-hmm. just realized that it's 8 hours ahead, and it's currently 1:24 in the afternoon. So in England, technically, it's the afternoon drive, prime time.
Yeah, we're middays. We're midday over there.
Oh,
still
right.
A big step up, though.
Yeah.
That's a big step up for us. You know, we may have to talk to our program director, Matt, about this thing. You know,
yeah,
we're kind of a big deal now.
Hey, we are a big deal. So one thing I also wanted to get to before the draft is I just realized this. I'm a Reddit guy. I like Reddit. I enjoy it.
You give me my info on Reddit.
I do enjoy Reddit a lot. And on these Joe Lo and Dib show emails, I tend to send really dumb stories.
But I love them.
Yeah, right.
I read them all the time.
No, you need to go off kilter, and Reddit brings me those stories. But
okay.
I was just looking on there now, and I totally forgot this was going to happen on, this was supposed to happen on Wednesday, but it's happening tonight. Alphonso McKinney is doing a Ask Me Anything.
Nice.
Where you just, if you go on Reddit and you have like an account, you can go on and literally ask him anything. And so the Warriors, they do have a what they call a subreddit, pretty much their own little page on there. And they're having Alphonso McKinney in. So what would you ask him if you're just thinking about it now? I didn't hit you with this before the segment, so this is kind of a shocker. But I think for me,
go ahead.
I got one. But I think it's just, did you expect to end up where you're at right now?
Because where was he playing? Was he Luxembourg?
He was in Luxembourg. I think in like a, it's like a third division basketball team out there or something like that. And so I guess I'd just ask him if he'd be shocked that he's at where he's at right now. He's on a championship contending team. Granted, he hasn't been the same Alphonso McKinney as of late.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping that I assume that he'll be on the roster going into the playoffs, which is what I hope for him. There's always those guys who, you know, can't really, they're not going to lead a team to, you know, playoff victories or anything like that. They kind of have to play their role. And Alphonso McKinney, he's a great role player. Mm-hmm. And so when he's with this Warriors squad, guys like this, you want to see him make it to the playoffs and the finals. So I guess my main thing would just be, how shocked, like, do you ever just sit back and think like, wow, I'm on one of the greatest teams ever assembled in NBA history, and I could be on my way to the finals?
I think that's a great question to ask him, and I think he'd answer it. The other thing you'd probably want to ask him, because I notice a lot of the things with Reddit is they always like to answer kind of the obscure questions.
Of course.
So those are always kind of fun because they answer those questions like, oh, I'm excited to be here. They kind of give their cookie cutter answers.
Yeah.
But he did go to the University of Wisconsin Green Bay. So I may need to ask him which cheese he likes better, Wisconsin or
which
California.
Which cheese he likes better, huh?
Yeah, that would be my question for him. No, but I think that it's amazing, honestly. His journey to the Warriors is really fascinating. Mm-hmm. And just was it that he was actually like recommended by one of the security guards? Something. It just the way he got here is so interesting, and I love those underdog stories. And I think that just makes him more likable. And he's somebody else you can root for on this team.
Yeah, he sort of just showed up in Warriors camp to the surprise of Steve Kerr, and they're mm-hmm. like, "Oh wow, we got a player." And I don't know, if you're watching Warrior games, I'm kind of going off the rails here because with the whole draft thing, we could do that next segment. We got a couple more minutes here, but when you're watching Warrior games, does McKinney, like, no pun intended, but does he jump out at you when he's when he's grabbing rebounds? It feels like because he puts in, and he's putting in 100% effort no matter what.
110.
Yeah. And when he's going up for an offensive rebound, it feels like his vertical is just leaps and bounds, no pun intended again, above everyone else. It feels like when he goes up for a board, it's like, wow, he kind of like sticks out a little bit.
He's that guy that he plays with pure heart.
Mm-hmm.
So you have guys who have just pure talent,
mm-hmm.
and they could just almost show up and they can play. But there are some guys that they need to work so much harder to get to that point.
Right.
And he's one of those guys. So he's one of those guys that has that heart and has that just drive to make sure to make a name for himself, to make a statement that he's there.
Right. And you don't want him getting complacent. And I think that's kind of been an issue with, I think Jordan Bell's kind of gotten complacent a little bit, maybe in his offseason workouts. I'm not going to speak to that, but It's Jordan Bell. There's been something different about his game. I don't know what it is, but there's just certain guys out there like McKinney and Jerebko who are new to this squad. They don't know if they're ever going to have another chance to, get to the NBA Finals and play on a team like this. So right now they're going to give it their all. From the 707 on the Chilton Auto Body Text Line, McKinney sort of is a baller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
I sort of am a baller.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. I just had to.
I forgot about that. That's why I was trying to figure that one out.
How misogynistic, or not misogynistic, how cocky is that to play your own drop of yourself? I've never done that before, and this is a first of me playing that, and yeah.
I'll say because I know you, and I know you're kind of making fun of yourself.
Right.
So that's why I don't think it's you're full of yourself. It's more making
it's
fun.
It's just, yeah, okay, and we're just going to, you know,
just like
play drops of myself.
I also like the funky ones. Yeah, okay. That one's always fun.
You know why they call me Funky Bunch, Cody?
Why?
Because I play some funky music, baby. All right, that was bad.
See, now, Kolsky fades it out at the end there.
No, that's the best part.
You got to, you know, admit your faults when you know. Like, that's the thing about live radio is when you say something, you got to get it out. Because at that point, I literally had no idea what I was going to say. I asked the question to Cody. I said, do you know why they call me Funky Bunch? And then literally in that little, whatever it was, 2 seconds of time where Cody just says, why? I'm like, because I play some funky music, man.
But it sounds great. It's just
yeah. It's all right.
By the way, from the 757, we love you in Virginia.
There we go, Virginia.
Virginia's
on the morning drive
lovers.
In Virginia.
Thank you. Shout out Virginia.
And from the 707 on the Chilton Albay text line, the new JaVale, Alphonso McKinney. Hmm. Would you consider him the new JaVale?
I guess just. Energy fun-wise, maybe? He's not quite JaVale. JaVale was an interesting cat. He was a little bit different.
JaVale had a really big impact.
Here. Yeah, so I can't quite say he's there yet.
I know he's, you know, the Shaq and a Fool kind of whatever MVP and all that sort of stuff. And he's not really known around the league to be the greatest player of all time. But in the Bay Area, whether it was like the Jug Life charity softball tournament,
which was great, by the way,
right? And you hosted that, and the what he did for the community, along with the team, like he helped create this sort of Warriors culture of unselfishness, and you know, there's not going to be infighting. You know, with JaVale around, I'm not going to guarantee it, but I think with the whole Draymond KD thing, they did need another guy in there, like a David West or maybe
like a
JaVale, someone to break that up. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to harp back on that, but I just think that JaVale had a way bigger impact than a lot of people give him credit for.
100%. Also, kind of going back to David West, all David West needed to do was just look at you. And he would have been able to stop that fight. If he just looked at Draymond, because you saw those eyes.
Yeah.
Those eyes, man. Ooh, they were scary eyes.
He had one of the greatest post-NBA Finals interviews of all time. Because it was all heart.
Yeah.
And you knew that they'd worked really hard to get to that point. He had a few comments saying, you know, we had some controversy in the locker room or whatever, which people speculated on, but... That's
apparently was meningitis, which I don't think it really fully was.
Who knows,
But you know, he was one of those players that when he won the championship, I was so happy he won.
Yeah.
Because I was happy, obviously, for the team to win. But there are some players you just get so excited when you see after a long career, after a steady career and being such a bit, having a big impact in the league. And to see that he finally got his chance and he took the veteran minimum to come to the Warriors. This is why he did it.
Right.
And it wasn't, but he was also a great presence for this team.
Right. So before we went to break in the last segment, I teased a little NBA draft, but then we got on Alphonso McKinney. And, you know, if you've ever listened to this show with Kolsky and we start mentioning Alphonso McKinney, we can go on for 5 to 10 minutes about him. And from the 707, he's young. He'll surpass JaVale. We'll see. We'll see. And
let's hope so. I hope so for him.
And maybe the Warriors have been that team that's gotten those savvy veterans who couldn't seem to get it done in their previous careers. They've been known to bring them in and kind of have them contribute. And, you know, maybe Maybe Robin Lopez will be that guy coming out of the buyout market. Yeah. I don't know who the next one's going to be, but for right now, Jarebko and McKinney. McKinney's way younger than Jarebko, and Jarebko's had like a 10-year career. But still, those two guys are the two who you hope are going to get a championship. So anyway, before I went to the last break, I teased the segment that we were going to draft the starting five.
We just want to make sure you're staying around. That's all.
Right.
Stay around.
We want to draft the starting five. So if you had to redraft and take all their careers up to this point, literally they had the exact same one, whether it's DeMarcus going out for the year with an injury, Steph Curry, took him a little while to get going, took him about 4 or 5 years till he truly became elite. Klay, who's always been super durable and healthy, but became one of the best two-way players in the game. Draymond, who's turned out to be the most demonstrative player in the NBA and a guy who everyone wishes was on their team, who don't want to play against him, though. While you also have DeMarcus, who is one of the best scoring big men that the game has probably ever seen. So we will get to that next. Stephen Langford, Anna Kagarakis, in and with four Matt Kolsky here on the pregame show.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Matt Kolsky.
The pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar. For a coffee, meet and greet with our product experts, visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information. It's the first time I've ever talked with the mic off.
I know, I wasn't going to call you out on it, but since you did it, where is that Dibs with the flag? Do you have your flag there?
He's taking vacation.
All right, it's not
Dibs flag.
Yeah, I guess it's before 6 a.m. We'll give you a pass.
It is before 6 a.m., but it is 8:39 in Virginia, about to hit 8:40, and we are apparently a hit in Virginia.
There you go.
According to the text
line. You're big in the East Coast. Morning drive time.
There we go. That's what we do. All right, so real quick. We don't even have to spend that much time on this because we got about 20 minutes left and I want to do a little All-Star Weekend preview. Plus, I have a question that I want to ask you that you're not going to have an easy time answering.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm sure you still haven't decided yet. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're still on the fence about this decision.
What makes you say that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So if you were to, question before we went to break, if you were to draft this starting five of the Warriors right now, say you're a GM and you have a franchise that's not necessarily in need of a franchise player, but you need a guy who you hope can help you contend now and then also for in the future. So you had to redraft. You have only five players in this draft. You have Steph, KD, DeMarcus, Klay, and Draymond. What would be the order of the draft? Now, to think about it, I know it's probably just obvious. It's like, well, I'd take Steph. I'd take KD at first. I'd take DeMarcus, those three, and then Draymond and Klay. We'll choose between them two at the bottom two. But I'm like sitting there thinking last night, I'm like, man, it took Steph. Like, Steph's had his injury problems.
Right.
He had the ankle issue. That's why they got him for so cheap. So that's also sort of an advantage and a disadvantage in itself, is that you'd be getting him for cheap, at least for 4 years, $44 million or whatever that contract was. And then with DeMarcus, you'd get a big man who would instantly make an impact, but also hasn't won a championship because he wasn't on a contending team at all for his career. You also have KD, who let's face it. KD is, he's made the biggest
impact
push in the NBA as soon as he got here, but he wasn't able to win in OKC when he had a relatively solid team around him,
right,
when he was the number one guy. Then you got Klay, though, who, if you look at his career stats, he's played in most games, so he is one of the more durable of the starting five. You saw him come back in with a dislocated finger yesterday, so that's just an example. But it took him a while to get going in terms of doing anything else besides catching and shooting. It took him a while to, you know, come comfortable driving to the hoop and going in for dunks, which he's doing at an unprecedented rate now. So you get him, you get a fantastic two-way player who took a little while to get into come into his own. Then you had Draymond, who never has made an impact on the score sheet, but when you're looking at him, even when he was on the bench, he was a vocal leader for that second unit for the Warriors, and eventually you just knew he was going to be a starter, and he became a starter right away and was the overall, I mean, he was the brass. He was the emotion for the team, and so who would you take? What would be your order?
All right, to my order, I would still start off with Steph because he's apparently ruined the game. He has changed the game with his amazing three-point shooting, but also his leadership skills. I think the fact that this team is so good is because of his leadership skills.
Right.
He brings an aura to this team. He brings this just unselfish attitude.
Right.
And I don't think anybody will go up against him. They know what he brings his game to the court every night. And he is so good at distributing the ball, at shooting everything he does. He is such a complete player, and he makes everybody else better around him. I mean, I think that's something you can't take lightly. And so I think his leadership skills, along with his efficiency, his amazing shooting, he's got ice water in his veins. Mm-hmm. He is just so good at what he does that I think he's number one overall. I'd have to go KD number two, just obviously for he's such an impressive ball handler, his mid-range, everything about him. He's a beast on the court. So it's almost like a 1 and 1A,
yeah.
But still would be Steph first, then KD. I would actually go with Klay at number two because, like you said, his resiliency, the fact that he, knock on wood, he comes back in when he gets hurt. He's there all the time. He's one of the best two-way players in the game. And I would actually go with Draymond at number four because of the fact that he's such a motivator. He's got such a high basketball IQ, how he changes the game. And then Boogie, you know, his ability, obviously, he's such an incredible player out there. But because of prior issues in the past, the chemistry issues he's had before, I think that's kind of a little bit of a knock I'll take on him. But overall, this is such a hard draft. What do you think about it? Because they all have so many abilities and so much talent on the scene.
Right. They that's what I realized as I was thinking about this whole question is how well they all complement each other.
Yes.
Because you got Steph, like you said, he's unselfish and it's obviously contagious. Mm-hmm. You can tell on the floor. He's the end of the game, he's not just handling the ball. He's just like, hey, I got options. Like, I can dish the ball out if I need to, but I can also go out and score. So what's the order again?
So I said Steph, KD, Klay, Draymond, Boogie.
Okay. See, I'd go Durant first.
Okay.
Just because if you're talking about just a guy you want to build a franchise around, Steph is up there for sure, and he's probably in the same. He could, if this was just a straight up, we're drafting to build a franchise around this guy, Steph would probably be for me number one. But the scoring prowess that KD has, like as a rookie, as a 19-year-old, when he was with the Supersonics, it was unparalleled, and you're getting a once in a generation player just in terms of size and genetics and athleticism, being like LeBron calls him a 7 foot guard, basically. So I'd go KD first, then I'd go Steph, and then three, I think I'd go Draymond because the effort that he puts in, I don't want to also say contagious, but it's the type of guy that you feed off of and you rely on him. And he's become the captain of this team by the time he turned 24, 25, and he was already leading them to championships.
Right.
And you know, Steph and Klay and all these guys, everyone had a huge role in it, but Draymond was a key piece. So I think I'd go Draymond too. Draymond 3, And then between DeMarcus and Clay, oh man, I'd probably
this is hard.
I'd probably go Clay.
Claytheus, there you go.
Yeah, I'd probably go Clay, and just because, you know, seeing the player that he's grown into, he doesn't cause a stir, he doesn't get technicals, he doesn't bring the team down, more or less. He elevates it, and he's not ever the reason for, he's not really the reason for losing, but sometimes he's the sole reason for winning.
So, yeah, I mean, you kind of adding on to that, too. Even when he doesn't have a good scoring night, he's still effective as a defender. So that's where you kind of have, you have something still with Clay. No matter what, you still get something good out of Clay.
Right. And I don't know. It's
hard to put Boogie last. I don't want to put him last, but
this conversation is just, it makes you realize just how good this starting five is.
Do people realize this? Like, I'm sitting there, I think recently I just sat there and realized, like, this is historic right here. Just watching this, these are stories that I'm going to tell my kids when they're older. I mean, I'm having my son, my older son, Dean, watch it.
Yeah.
And he loves watching the Warriors every night. He even loves it at 6 years old. I mean, he's loved it for years now. But I mean, just the idea that you're watching something that you're not going to see again.
Right.
This is an amazing team. And I don't think that you can put a team together like this again because of how the NBA is going right now.
And I think in this second half, you might not see distractions like we've seen in the first half from that. There's been a lot going on that has deterred us from enjoying the moment. As you see a Butcher Boy on Twitter, he is enjoying the moment. All caps on enjoying. It's you, and he's completely right. And hopefully, this second half of the season, we're not going to see a Kevin Durant post game press conference, you know, mess up after a 49 point third quarter where we don't even remember the 49 point third quarter.
Right.
And so maybe we're not going to see, you know, maybe we'll. I don't know. I don't know if the distractions are going to be there this second half, but for the remainder of the season, I think we are just all going to enjoy it.
But they'll be distracted this weekend for sure because you got the All-Star break going on this weekend.
Look at the transition there.
There you go.
From the 5-1-0, the Dubs lost to Portland because Clay was 2 of 16. He's the reason they lost. He's not entirely the reason they lost.
There's a lot of factors.
Yeah, the factor is that the Blazers also came back and scored going toe for toe with the Warriors too, so
they weren't playing a scrub team.
I give the Blazers way more credit, along with a terrible foul call which gave them an 8-point swing.
Yeah, they are fourth in the Western Conference right now.
But the toughest question that I wanted to ask you today.
Okay.
So if you are Sonya Curry going into this weekend, and you got the 3-point shooting contest, you got Seth. You got the young one. It's appropriate that he's on the Trailblazers because Steph has blazed a trail for him. And
nice pun.
Thank you. And Steph has been established. He's won this before, but you got the younger one. Now you do have two kids with relatively the same age difference with Dean and Lucas. So if you had Dean and Lucas both going up in this 3-point contest, as if they were Seth or Steph, if you're Sonya, which one are you taking?
You're so mean for asking this question.
Yeah,
because
you have
one,
to choose.
I love both my children the same, despite Joe Fortenbaugh saying you can't do that. It is true. You can love your children the same. You may treat them differently, but you still love them the same.
Right.
But if I have to answer this question, this is just mean.
Yeah.
This is really mean.
I mean, it's...
As a mom, I'm going to tell you, it's mean to choose between your children.
That's the way the world works. You choose one or the other.
That's so cruel. I would say, honestly, I would probably root for the younger one who hasn't been as established, just so that way he gets his moment in the limelight right now. Because Steph, obviously, he's making money upon money. He's getting endorsements. He's doing just fine.
Yeah.
He can stand for himself, and it'd be nice to give the little one a chance. Give Seth a chance to just kind of have his moment, and especially back in Charlotte, in their hometown.
Do you think it's going to be just a given thing that the Currys might be in the finals? You got Devin Booker, Danny Green, Joe Harris, Buddy Hield, who's actually I think he's going to win this one. I'm a
dark horse candidate.
I'm a Buddy Hield guy.
Okay.
Dame Lillard,
Dame would be good, though.
Dame is great. Chris Middleton, a dark is in for a final three-point contest, I guess. And Kemba Walker. Kolsky gives me the dirtiest look when I say Dirk. So Kemba Walker, Dirk Nowitzki, Chris Middleton, Dame Lillard, Buddy Hield, Joe Harris, Danny Green, and Devin Booker. Do you see Seth or Steph surpassing all those guys?
It'd be great.
Right.
It would be entertaining as all to have both of them in there. It'll be tough, but I think it's possible. I think it's definitely possible for the Currys to end up there. I think Dame is going to be a hard one to beat, but yeah, I'm rooting for that.
So
I'm rooting for the Currys.
So if Seth or both Seth and Steph are the finalists for the contest, you'd go with Seth if you were Sonya Curry.
That's me. She'd be happy at the end no matter what. I don't think she'll outwardly say I'm rooting for Seth. But in her head, she'll be like, all right, okay, come on, Seth. Let's give you your chance.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. All right, that makes sense. And then the skills challenge, we got Mike Conley, Luka Doncic, De'Aaron Fox, Nikola Jokic, Kyle Kuzma, Jason Tatum, Nikola Vucevic, and Trae Young. Does that excite you at all, the skills challenge?
I'll watch it.
Yeah.
It's funny how it's changed. I don't know if it's just because I've been so focused, on obviously the Warriors and enjoying watching the Warriors. But it's funny to see how the All-Star game has changed and what you want to watch, because it used to be all about the dunk contest. And now it's all about, I want to watch a three-point contest, because usually it's been Steph or Klay in there. And they're so, it's just fireworks when they're out there. So I think the skills contest I'll watch, but I'm not going to be like, yeah, I got to watch this. I'm going to make sure to.
It's not going to be appointment television for you. It's going to be the first event on Saturday.
That's why they do it first.
And what about the dunk contest? Are you into that? It's kind of, people say it's lost its luster because you're going to be hard pressed to find another better dunk contest than Zach LaVine versus Aaron Gordon. Yesterday, I was
does not look happy for you saying that.
Oh, come on, Zach LaVine, dude.
Come on. Vinsanity.
Just because you're a Bulls fan?
Nobody loves Zach LaVine more than me, nice guy Steven.
All right.
But you're hard-pressed. You said that wrong.
You are
hard-pressed to find a dunk contest better than Vince Carter's performance right here in the Bay Area. That was where the standard was set. Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon was great. Don't forget your elders.
Well, I mean, I appreciate the elders.
No.
But what Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon did in terms of creativity.
No.
I mean, Vince Carter.
Incorrect.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I probably am incorrect. I'm taking a very millennial approach
here. This is a very millennial approach.
Yeah. And that's okay. I'm speaking for the millennials out there. All the millennials up at 555.
Mm-hmm. How old are you? How old were you in 2000?
Oh, gosh.
He doesn't remember 2000. That's how old he is.
That's true.
I was seven.
Oh my God.
That's why.
That is so depressing. I was in college and Steven was a little baby.
How's anyone going to even believe what I say at all?
It's true.
Anymore?
You just lost all your credibility.
I really did. Matt, did you realize this? But technically, on the East Coast, we're on the morning drive right now.
Damn right.
I've never thought about that since we've been doing this 5 to 6 show.
Prime time, son.
We are prime time in the morning drive.
Got some love this morning from Virginia.
There we go.
I love it. And
so what are you looking? Are you looking forward to All-Star Weekend?
I love All-Star Weekend. Such a basketball nerd.
Yeah.
People complain about the NBA All-Star game because they say, well, it's not like real basketball.
Right.
It's not. Is it supposed to be? Isn't this just a goofy exhibition we do every year?
It's not like they're playing dodgeball out there.
Right. And frankly, that would be fun too.
That would be kind of entertaining.
But like, I don't need it to be like a regular basketball game. You know what I like to watch about one time a year?
Hmm.
The best players in the world goof off for a couple hours, and then maybe down the stretch it'll get competitive if it's close. I'm fine with that. Let's have some fun. I'm going to watch the celebrity game.
Really?
The NBA celebrity game will be on my DVR. That's the level of freak show that I am surrounding basketball.
So are you going to take the squad featuring J.B. Smoove and Steve Smith, Terrence J and Jay Williams, and Chris Daughtry of Daughtry fame?
Oh, I loved me some Chris Daughtry back on American Idol.
You going to take that squad, or are you going to take the squad with Ronnie 2K, who's the big 2K guy, and Ray Allen, Bad Bunny.
Yes.
Hasan Minhaj.
Yes.
And Quavo.
Yes.
You think Quavo's going to
MVP? MVP, returning MVP Quavo,
back to back.
Sneakerhead Hasan Minhaj, who I have no idea if he's any good at basketball, but he does love sneakers, so I figure that works in our favor.
Yeah,
and of course, always in any situation, whatever team does not have Jay Williams, that abomination against basketball.
Wow, explain that real quick.
I'm just a Bulls fan who's still angry that he crashed his career into a telephone pole.
Yeah, I know.
I just saw Doc. You said Dr. Oz is going to be playing?
Oh, yuck. Which team's he on?
He is on on Daughtry with Mike Coulter, Chris Daughtry.
He's on the crap team.
Oh my god.
With Jay Williams.
Hang on. Oh man, I missed Dr. Oz. How did I miss
Dr. Oz and Jay Williams can both eat it. That's how I feel about those two guys.
He can tell you what's wrong with your stomach though while he's playing.
Can he?
Yeah.
What's wrong
with
you?
Really, Dr. Oz is gonna give you some quack nonsense about what's wrong with your stomach. You see a real doctor if you want to know what's wrong.
Well, maybe you can
put turmeric in your diet.
Maybe it's apparently. I don't know what he's gonna tell you to do.
Dr. Oz. TV doctors. Get out of here.
Matt Kolsky is in for Dibs today on Joe Low and Dibs. Jim Barnett at 8:30, Matt Barrows at 9:10, Gary St. Jean at 9:35. So, Kolsky, do you think that if Seth and Steph both they're both the finalists for the 3-point contest, and you're Sonya Curry, do you think Sonya's going for Seth all the way, just taking the young child instead of Steph, the old established veteran?
I heard
son?
You guys talking about this, and man, I go both ways. I don't know.
You can't go both ways, though.
It's so hard.
You can't take my answer. Come on now.
It's funny. People keep telling me I'm on Anna's corner because I'm wishy-washy.
Yes. It happens.
It's called being balanced. You're trying to figure out all the information, let it all soak in,
you know,
and then
what?
Make a decision.
You know, no, man. I'm a front runner. If I'm Sonya, I'm going with the big brother, the winner. I want to win. I'm picking Steph.
You chose one. Okay, we have 18 seconds. Why did you give me such a dirty look when I said Dirk in the 3-point contest?
I'll have to tell you after the show.
Oh, wow. All right. Mm. Tells me after the show. Ooh. Now, that is a tease for...
Not you guys.
Me. And I'll be looking forward to that and be talking to you. We got 3 seconds. Anything, Anna?
Happy weekend, TJF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.